Hi. I'd like to turn, if we could, to the book of 2 Corinthians to chapter 8 and just read a few verses together, and then I will share for a few minutes on the work in India. Now, Harold had asked if I would share about what we're involved in, and I felt like it would be more beneficial if we talked about the work of God further afield. I mean, we're aware of the work here, each one of us involved in our local assemblies, and I know some of you, and you know me, so I thought that it would be good if we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and then talked about India for just a few minutes. Verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." That's interesting. Our brother Steve exhorted us this morning the value of prayer, local assembly, in our own lives, but especially in the assembly. We were exhorted last night, reminder of this this event, this conference that Steve talked about, a week of prayer, a conference specifically for the purpose of the saints to come together to pray. And Steve shared stories of how prayer changed their assembly. When Harold had asked me about this, I emailed my friend in India, Joshua, and said, you know, I'm with the opportunity maybe to speak for a couple minutes on the work in India. Can you just catch me up to speed on what's going on? And he wrote back, and I mean, this is in Chennai. He lives in a third world country. He doesn't, you know, have a car. They travel by motorcycle anywhere they go, or by public transit, and they travel all over preaching the gospel. And so you would think of him as being very disconnected. He said to me, "We hear you have a new prime minister, and we're praying for him." I thought, wow, he's up to speed. That's just a few weeks. We've had a new prime minister. So they're in India praying for us here. And he said that we'd be appreciative if you pray for the work. And I thought that was, it was good, helpful. But you know, in India, one of the things we've learned, I've been there twice, both times with a couple of young men. The first time, you know, we lived in Abbotsford and met Ruth Fox, that's Silas Fox's daughter, and she told stories about her dad. We never met her dad, but heard stories about Silas Fox, and had the opportunity to read The White Fox of Andhra. And then the grace of God met a brother at a conference on the East Coast in Waterbury, Connecticut, in fact, who was from Andhra Pradesh, and he invited us to come and visit some assemblies. I said, well, you know, I'm really interested in Silas Fox. Have you ever heard of him? He said, well, I know him. I said, really? He says, yeah, he worked in our area. And I said, really? Would you be able to take me to an assembly that Silas Fox was part of? He said, I would be able to take you to the assembly that Brother Silas Fox and Brother Agrippa started, the first one they saw planted. Of course, we, having read Silas Fox's biography, you know that he was the White Fox of Andhra, and Brother Agrippa was called the Black Fox of Andhra. And so these men went around, and according to that the world may know, started somewhere between 150 and 300 assemblies. I mean, that's a lot, right? I mean, considering we're praying for 500 assemblies in North America to be planted, these two men were responsible for maybe upwards of 300 assemblies. So a great work. We had that opportunity to go there and meet the Christians and hear their exercise in prayer. Every assembly we visited probably 30, I'm not sure, a lot, but 30. All of them had an all-night prayer meeting once a month. The assembly would gather for prayer all night, the last calendar day of every month. And that's pretty outstanding. One of the assemblies we visited in Chennai, I said to the brother, can you tell me about the work in this area? Like the assembly, about 80 people. Have you seen much fruit in the gospel? He said, well, you know, in their 8 years of seeing their assembly planted, they'd seen five other works started in their part of Chennai. And so the work goes forward. And so I felt like as I email my friend Joshua and he says, we'll pray for you, will you pray for us? I think, well, they're way beyond us, I feel like, in their prayer life. But what I feel like you could do, or we could do, is we could, in the language of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, be involved in the work there financially. And because I know there's lots of people that would ask for money. We experienced that in India, for sure. There was lots of, sadly, even some Christian workers. But I could stand here tonight and or this afternoon and testify, you know, that the Christians in Chennai never asked us for anything. They just gave to us the whole time they were there. They're an assembly that's been going for probably 12 years. They've seen gospel works in the fishing villages around. We visited all the works they've been involved in. The boys and I that were there the last time went and broke bread with an assembly at 5 in the morning, Sunday morning. You think, why? Or they start at 6. We left the 5 so we could get there at 6. You wonder, why does an assembly start at 6 in the morning to break bread? Why would you think that? Well, they do it because they have to work. To work on Sunday, they work 7 days a week. And so for them to break bread, they have to meet at 6 in the morning. And they have to be out by 8 o'clock and off to work. And so Brother Nana Saker and his son Joshua have seen these works, maybe 8 assemblies started around. We visited, as I said, all of them, and all mostly saved out of Hindu background. You could sit in an assembly, and I remember sitting in a fishing village, and I said to him through interpretation, how many of these people have been saved in the last few years? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, like in the last year or few years, how many of these people have been saved? He said, all of them. Like really? He goes, yeah, all of them. And so he starts a story of how a testimony starts here of a brother that's been saved 3 years, and then his wife, and then his mother, and then their kids, and it just goes around, and they're all new converts. And so it's a great work. We would, as I say, have the opportunity. Yes, they're praying for us. We're thankful for that. We can pray for them. That's what they're asking for. But, you know, I think if, you know, you had an exercise... the fact is your funds go a long ways in India. The Christians in the assembly at Chennai have a Bible school. They have a free Bible school for young working men or whoever wants to come, who's ever exercised to come. They're trying to train up Christian workers, and they're part of that great country. It's for 6 weeks. It goes from January 10th, I think, to it's 5 days. It's a set time. I don't remember exactly what, but Lord willing, we're beginning to be going there this year in sometime at the end of January. And when we were there the last time, they had about 15 students. They paid for it all, and these guys come and it's free for them. And the young guys and myself, we got involved. We asked, how much does food cost to feed these guys for a month or for a little over a month? And so they worked through it, and it was 600 US. And so that was basically their expense for over a month to send 15 guys through a Bible school. And so we were thrilled to be able to say we paid for a whole semester of Bible school for all the students. We bought all their food for one whole semester. Plus, we were able to buy them William MacDonald's book, The Disciples Manual, in Tamil. I brought an English version for them, and they were going to translate it into Tamil, and when they looked it out or searched it out, actually William MacDonald's commentary has already been translated into Tamil, and so it is Disciples Manual. Actually, as you well know, lots of William MacDonald's literature is translated into various languages, and so we had the opportunity to give, or the young guys did, Bruce and Ryan, who were with me, give it as a gift to these guys, and we don't know how far that's gone. We haven't really communicated with them because most of them go back to their villages and there isn't a way to communicate with these people. So just encourage your hearts. There's a great work going on in India. Trust in the will of the Lord, we'll be able to go there. Looking for a young man or two to go with me. I think that it's important to go together with others. And so pray for us. That's going to be, as I say, sometime in January. We're going to go and spend 3 weeks or so in India. And if you have an exercise, we'd be glad to take what you have if you want to give to the saints there. And as I say, you can stand here and testify to what these guys are doing. It's a great work. And just grateful for the opportunity to share on their behalf. So the brother is Brother Nanasekar, and his son is Josh Nanasekar. He and his family, they work in the gospel. They work in the assembly. They don't own anything. They own a couple of motorcycles. They're saving for a car. That's what they told me a few years ago. And that takes a lifetime to save for a car in India. Average income for most people is 100 US. A car costs basically the same as it costs here. So it takes a whole lifetime to save for a vehicle. But they're doing a great work. Thank you for the opportunity to share about the work there. I feel like it's okay to say that, right? I'm not asking, is it okay, Steve? Is this, it's not out of line, is it? Good. I mean, you'd tell me if it was, wouldn't you? You would. Okay, good. Thank you.